are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
The whole division, you have, 10 players that are worth drafting, so.
Pretty much, and the half of them are on Seattle, basically. We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
It's not another fat joke. I'm getting way over the whole fat thing with Eddie Lacy. Like, he's not fat. He's a big running back. There's been plenty of running backs in this league that have been big that have had success, so.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Well, he wasn't bad. He still averaged 4+ yards carry. I know he's fat and all that crap.
But I don't care about that. I honestly don't. No wonder Justin wanted us to do this division, because it was a major drag.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome in.
Fantasy Benefits Football Podcast. This is episode 100, and I'm your host, Mike Werner. You can reach me on Twitter at Mike Werner, FWFB. And with me today is Eli Rosenzweig. Eli, how you doing, friend?
Don't sound so excited to talk to me, Mike. Jeez.
I'm very excited. I, to be honest, I've just been under a grueling work schedule, and it's nice to actually get a day off to be able to talk some football with you. So I actually truly am excited. I don't know why you don't hear my voice.
No one cares about your personal life, Mike.
That's very true. That's very true. But where can everybody reach you on Twitter, and what are you doing nowadays other than the massive 3-sport draft that is seemingly never ending?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at EliFWFB. And Justin always asks me what I'm working on. My answer is always the same. I don't do anything. Don't ask me that.
That's irrelevant.
It's pointless. It's a waste of time.
We are here to talk about the NFC West today. So we're going to go team by team, go through some of the fantasy relevant players, and hopefully give you a good grasp on each of the positions on each of these teams so that you can be better suited and prepared for your draft. So let's start off with the grueling San Francisco 49ers. Brian Hoyer, top 25 quarterback. Do you think that he's just a quarterback too? I mean, there's not much really here, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's a low-end quarterback too. You could probably get him cheaper than he. I mean, last year he was actually 6 touchdowns, no picks, played pretty well, had like a 65% completion. So, he's a professional quarterback. He's not the sexiest guy ever, but he's pretty solid. And if you want to go super cheap on your second quarterback, maybe that's the guy you want to go with. But, I'd rather have 2 better quarterbacks, obviously.
Well, and I liked what I saw in his games last year from a game-to-game basis. He had 3 multi-touchdown games in a row and then like 4 300-yard games in a row as well. And for DFS purposes, he was always very cheap. So I liked that aspect of it. I also like that Kyle Shanahan is the head coach here. So I think for fantasy, he could be a viable quarterback too in 2 quarterback formats. I play in 2 of those every year. And guys like Hoyer are certainly guys that I will target just to have a back-end option that I can use. Mind you, Hoyer is somebody that's gotten injured from for a pretty good amount of time in his career. So behind him is guys like Matt Barkley. Are you interested in any of these other guys if you're in like an insanely deep league? Is there one that you would think could keep this offense rolling if Hoyer went down?
Well, no. Partly because I don't think they're any good, but also partly because I don't think the weapons in San Fran are all that good. I mean, his receiving core is pretty pedestrian. It's not very deep. He doesn't really have a tight end to go to either. The running back's fine, but I just don't think there's enough options to go around to keep an average quarterback to be successful in fantasy.
Sure. I would say Matt Barkley would probably get the reins if something happened to Hoyer, and in that case, I'm really the Niners offense is already one that I'm only looking at a couple guys from, and if something happened to Hoyer, then it would probably become like more of a jet situation to me. The next thing is Carlos Hyde. I think he's fairly polarizing. Multiple people are really all in on him, or others are just flat out going to Joe Williams, who we'll talk about in a second. So what camp are you in?
I'm on the Carlos Hyde camp. I know it's been frustrating. He's missed a handful of games over the past few years, but he did average 4.6 yards a carry and he's somewhat capable in the passing game. So I think he's the clear number one. I'm not too worried about Hightower and Williams. I'm sure they'll get some looks and some touches, but Hyde's the most talented of the group. So, when he's healthy, I think he's the guy, and I don't think it's really that close.
Yeah, I like Joe Williams more, and I think that there's a reason that Joe Williams was drafted. He's probably going to be used in the Tevin Coleman type of role to start off with. And with Kyle Shanahan, I love some of the prospects with somebody like Carlos Hyde this year, but Joe Williams is the guy that I've been drafting more when it comes down to it. I just think that he has a higher upside to fulfill based on where he's going in drafts. He's going way late so far. And Carlos Hyde, while I like him and I like the offensive line for San Francisco, surprisingly, I just, all of these best shape of his life reports and all of this, like, he just has never been able to put it together. He will do it for short stretches. And again, I like the player. I think that he's certainly pretty elusive. He has good size to him. He's just a solid overall running back. But I don't know how many times I can keep going back to the well with Hyde and be disappointed. So I would much rather go with somebody like Joe Williams, who I know is going to fulfill something based on where he's going in drafts, and not really be disappointed, even though Hyde, again, is probably the better player at this point, and all the training camp hype is awesome. It just, to me, it's not worth it at this point when you have somebody like Joe Williams that's, going much cheaper at this point. So I just said at this point like 20 times. I don't know what's up with that. Wide receiver core for the Niners. You can tell I'm just depressed talking about this team. I know this is like I have a couple buddies of mine that are like super, super big San Fran fans, and I just can't stand this team at all. It's like just a cesspool of just no talent, and it just sucks. So Pierre Garçon is their top overall player going in drafts other than Carlos Hyde. I am not aboard the Pierre Garçon train. I know he had a career year in 2013 with Kyle Shanahan, and a lot of people are kind of citing that when looking at Garçon for going into drafts this year, but I am not on the bandwagon. How about you?
He's definitely a better PPR guy. He's never been a guy that scored a lot of touchdowns, and in this offense, that's never going to change. So I do like him in terms of getting a lot of targets and catching a lot of passes, and he won't get a ton of touchdowns or a ton of yards necessarily, but he's going to get a lot of looks, and this is a team that's going to be down in a lot of games, so that's even more targets his way. So I think he's a pretty decent wide receiver three, especially in PPR leagues.
Yeah, if you want to get him, you will have to spend approximately eighth round pick on him. Right now he's going 95th overall, right around Cameron Meredith, Randall Cobb, Jeremy Maclin, Corey Davis, Devontae Parker. For sure, I would rather have Devontae Parker ahead of him and Randall Cobb. Cameron Meredith, it's probably a toss-up between those two, so it's probably more of like a splitting hair situation. But in general, I'm not on Garçon, and despite the fact that I think Hoyer will probably be pretty serviceable, I think that Shanahan's probably going to keep things pretty balanced in terms of running and throwing. And yeah, in Garçon, yeah, you probably have a pretty decent PPR asset, but somebody that gets injured, somebody that has been somewhat inconsistent, and somebody that, while he might be the featured wide receiver on this team, he's going to get coverage from the best corners, and he's not in a division that has great corners to be against him. So I'm not really in on Garçon. Going on to the rest of their wide receiver core, are you interested in maybe Jeremy Curley, who put up probably his best season last year, especially for PPR owners? Was more of like a wide receiver 4 or 5, but he was definitely serviceable some weeks. They signed Aldrick Robertson. They have Marquise Goodwin, obviously the track star that can run a million miles an hour, probably challenge Usain Bolt or something. But other than that, is there anybody else in the wide receiver core that you are looking at? DeAndre Smelter, maybe? Lewis Murphy?
No, not really. I know Curley was pretty decent last year, but that's because he got a bajillion looks, and that offense is – the looks are going to go down now that Garçon's there. Even though Curley got a ton of targets, 115, he still didn't crack the top 50 in fantasy among receivers. I don't see how that's going to change. So, if you're really desperate in a deep league for like a bye week fill-in, Curley could be okay, I suppose. But other than that, I don't like anyone on this roster.
Yeah, I'm not really drafting any of these guys. I am keeping an eye on Smelter, just because I'm a little bit tanslot. He's a former fourth-round pick, so I think that he could possibly do something. But, again, not really looking at any of these guys. Vance McDonald is their leading tight end. Are you interested at all?
No, not really. Yeah, you'd think that a tight end on this offense could actually fill a nice little role as a safety valve, because they don't have a lot of options to stretch the field. But, he doesn't really excite me much.
Yep, not in on Vance McDonald either. I think that he might have 2 weeks where he is even close to a starting tight end this year. And, while somebody like Hoyer can sling it, and there is a possibility of him, getting some, type of value this year in McDonald, I just don't really see it. It would be more so something where I would have to see it for a couple weeks and maybe add him on waivers than take a actual draft pick on him. So I'm not really in on Vance McDonald, not really in on most of this offense. How about the defense? Are you in on this defense at all? They still have Navarro Bowman. He is their top overall graded player, according to PFF. Is there like any type of interest there?
Not really. I typically, unless I'm getting a truly elite defense, I'm going to be flip-flopping my defenses week to week based on matchups. So I don't think anyone considers the San Fran defense all that good, and there's not going to be a lot of matchups that are going to be great for them either. So I can't envision any week that I'm going to have San Fran as my defense.
Yeah, they do have Kyle Juszczyk, and he will definitely, you know, get a couple touchdowns. We didn't really talk about Tim Hightower. He's also middling around there. It's not really something where I'm worried about it for Joe Williams, but if you're looking at value, I think Joe Williams is the best bet on this team. And as far as actual draft picks go, Carlos Hyde and Pierre Garçon are the only ones that are getting drafted consistently right now, and I say that that's pretty fair. Let's move on to Arizona, because I'm getting more and more depressed talking about San Francisco.
Yeah, it really isn't pretty.
Yeah, it's pretty demoralizing. Carson Palmer, one of the most disappointing fantasy picks last year. Do you think that he's into rebound for 2017?
Maybe a slight rebound, but he's still pretty old, still pretty injury prone. He's got pretty decent weapons around him, but some of those receivers are really inconsistent. You don't know what to expect from them. David Johnson's got to, you know, get the vast majority of the work, so that kind of hurts Palmer a little bit, because it's all about David Johnson on that team. So he's fine, but you know, QB2.
Yeah, I think that he rebounds a bit. I don't think that he becomes a top 10 option again like he was in 2015, but I do think that he rebounds from where he's being. Right now, he's the 20th quarterback off the board. I can see him finishing in the top 15 area, maybe somewhere in that region. I think that last year was just kind of a down year for him, and mind you, he's always been somebody that's been quite injury prone in the past, and somebody that's also been pretty inconsistent. Arizona offensive line isn't that amazing as well. They have a couple of holes, so that's certainly a little bit concerning. But overall, like, if you're drafting Palmer, then you're more than likely in a two quarterback format, and I think that he can be a quarterback two for you this season. Behind him, you have Drew Stanton and even Blaine Gabbert, who, I don't know if you watched the Hall of Fame game, but Blaine Gabbert looks all right. He didn't look like otherworldly or something, but, you know, Gabbert's obviously the former number two overall pick. He, you know, was terrible over in Jacksonville, you know, made some headway in San Francisco, and now he's over in Arizona, where, you know, obviously Bruce Arians is kind of like a quarterback whisperer. He obviously likes to throw it downfield. Gabbert has always had a pretty strong arm, so has Drew Stanton as well. But if something were to happen to Palmer, which is certainly not unlikely, then I think Gabbert could be a serviceable quarterback too if he were to get the spot. But it's nothing that we can really make any type of certain projection on right now. David Johnson, number one, number two pick for you?
I have him at number two, but I would certainly not argue with anyone who had him number one. It's a toss a coin with Johnson and Bell. They're both incredible and both incredibly versatile, catching a ton of passes.
Yeah, David Johnson's number one for me. He's a workhorse. He's a stud. He's obviously coming back from his injury pretty well. There's not much really to say about David Johnson other than he's an absolute beast. He should be taken number one or number two. I still don't think that he should be behind Le'Veon Bell and Zeke, but regardless, the top three are pretty much set in stone, and there's not really much analysis to give there. So moving on to the backup running back situation here, Chris Johnson, he's coming back from his injury. Andre Ellington looked kind of decent in the Hall of Fame game as well. Are you stashing, if you're a David Johnson owner, are you stashing Chris Johnson or Andre Ellington in the case that Johnson gets injured?
Probably not. Do you have any read on who it would be? I lean towards Ellington, but I don't know. It's 50-50. I'm sure there'll be a pretty – if Johnson were to go down, those two would split the carries and they'd be mildly effective. I'm not a big handcuff guy. I'm getting more and more of a handcuff kind of guy lately, but you'd think you'd want to handcuff the best running back in the NFL, but I just don't – these options don't excite me whatsoever, and it's no clear-cut case between the two.
I think that Chris Johnson is the stash. If something were to happen to David Johnson, I think Chris Johnson would probably get the majority of the in-between the tackles work, but Andre Ellington is still a tantalizing talent. I like the guy. I've always had kind of an affinity for him, but he's not worth the stash right now. Because Bruce Arians is so worried about the workload with Ellington, I don't think he will ever be given a featured role, even if David Johnson were to go down. I think it would always be more in the 5 to 8 touches range, maybe somewhere around 10 to 12 if Johnson went down, and that would obviously be great for PPR formats. But in general, I think Chris Johnson is there to be a backup plan for David Johnson if and when he were to get injured, which is not that likely. I mean, David Johnson's built like a horse. The fact that he got injured is probably because he had a career high in touches and was the backbone of the team, literally. Larry Fitzgerald, somebody that is probably going to be a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he's going pretty late in drafts right now. He's going outside the top 30 at wide receiver. Are you interested?
Yeah, I got him at 31, so I think he's been being fairly well priced. I do think that they're going to spread the ball around. Johnson's going to get a ton of catches, obviously. Fitzgerald, Brown, Nelson, they have a pretty solid and deep receiving core. I think he'll be solid. I don't think he's going to have a monster season. I think he's getting too old and there's too many options, but he'll be reliable, but he won't outperform his draft spot by much, I don't think.
He's definitely one of the guys that makes a big shift for me in PPR formats. If I'm in a standard league, I don't love him because his red zone usage isn't that great. But and obviously with David Johnson there, it really cuts into that. But if you're in a PPR format, his target share is great. And it's been one of the league leaders for the last few years here. I think that that will not change. He'll stay pretty consistent in that realm. But for touchdowns and in standard, I think that you could probably find someone better. But in PPR, I think that the target share is going to be there. There's J.J. Nelson and John Brown, who we'll talk about in a second, who are more so deep options whenever they want to go deep. And that's certainly viable. They were top 10 in average depth of target. Both of them were, John Brown and J.J. Nelson, last year. But Larry Fitzgerald was nowhere near that list, making him more of a safety valve, you know, slot receiver type option, which I'm fine with, but is more suited for PPR, not standard. Speaking about John Brown and J.J. Nelson, do you have any interest in them? Both John Brown is probably the one that's getting a little bit more pub this offseason based on his camp and based on the fact that most people don't think he will have as bad of a year as he did last year. Right now, going outside the top 110 picks, outside the top 40 wide receivers, going right near Tyrell Williams, Adam Thielen, are you interested in John Brown?
Yeah, I am. He really pissed me off last year. I'm pretty frustrated at a lot of people, but he was dealing with that sickle cell trait thing that really affects players. He seems to be over that now, and people forget that 2 years ago he was a top 25 option at receiver, a guy who had 100 targets, 1,000 yards, caught a bunch of touchdown passes. So I do think he won't quite repeat that, but he's certainly going to be a huge step up from what he was last year. So I do think he'll outperform his draft spot.
Yeah, I like John Brown a lot this year. He's worth drafting, but I am still a little bit worried about that whole sickle cell thing. I'm also a little bit worried about his durability, just him being on the field. That's starting to be, he already has an injury now. It's starting to become a major concern whether he can just stay on the field.
Well, he's only missed two games in his entire career. So the fact that he played through that, I'm not worried about the durability. I just think he's always been on the field, so he'll tough it out if he has to. As long as it's not a huge issue again this year, he should be, you know, back to what he was before, I think.
Yeah, I'm going into this season hoping that he's going to be fully healthy and that we can get a full John Brown type season, especially with Michael Floyd gone, taking away targets. This is certainly a better spot for John Brown to fulfill at least higher expectations than normal. So I think that we can see his touchdowns go up for sure, and I think that his target share will go up as well. I think that when it's all said and done, he could have the upside of a wide receiver too. Right now he's being drafted like a wide receiver four, so I'm all in for that. J.J. Nelson is also somebody I'm willing to take a shot in the dark on. He is more suited for standard, not PPR, because his target share isn't that high, but he's kind of similar to Taylor Gabriel, just really fast, can stretch the field, has pretty good hands, also a really small guy. But in deeper formats, I think J.J. Nelson is pretty interesting. How about you?
Oh, yeah, I agree. Especially if John Brown were to miss time, Nelson will get a few more looks. Like you said, yeah, he doesn't get a ton of looks, but they go really deep with him. So if he catches passes, he's going to score some touchdowns for you. So if you're trying to hit a home run on a week with a bye week, maybe, I think J.J. Nelson's one of the better options to go with.
Yeah, and behind them, you have Jerron Brown, and even Aaron Dobson is around the back end of the wide receiver core here. You have any interest in any of these guys?
No, one or two guys would have to go down for me to have any interest whatsoever. Because, I mean, even if John Brown goes down, you still got easy three guys ahead of them on the pecking order for passes being thrown. So no thanks.
Jermaine Gresham is the starting tight end for this team. Pretty well known that they are not a team that focuses on the tight end position for fantasy. Do you have any interest in Gresham, who I don't need to look at the ADP. I know he's being taken way outside the top 20.
No, I think we all learned about 5 years ago that Jermaine Gresham was never going to reach the immense potential that we all thought he was going to have in Cincinnati. So, no, I got him like ranked like 29 among tight ends or something like that.
Yeah, I would much rather go Charles Clay, who never gets his credit. I don't know why Charles Clay is always taken outside the top. Like right now he's being taken outside the top 30 tight ends. That's pretty ridiculous to me. I know this isn't a Bills podcast, but regardless, I think it's pretty insane. From a defense point of view, we usually haven't been talking defenses on these, you know, team previews, but I do like Arizona's defense just for the punt and kick return upside alone. Do you have any interest here?
Yeah, like I said earlier, there's only a handful of defenses that I'm willing to kind of keep rostered for most of the season because they're good enough, and I think Arizona fits that bill. I have them ranked sixth among my defenses. They're definitely a team that I'm going to run with most of the time unless they have a rough matchup.
Yeah, right now they're going as the seventh defense in fantasy football right now in the ADP, and I think that's pretty apt. They present a lot of upside on a week-to-week basis, so I'm absolutely in for that. Anything else on the Cardinals?
No, at least that's a little bit more exciting than the San Francisco 49ers.
Shifting from one disappointing 2016 team to another, we had the LA Rams. Jared Goff. Don't know if he's going to be the starter to come into the season. Sean Mannion has had some talk that he might get the starting nod to come into the year. Have you heard of, other than, you know, a couple people, have you heard of a top number one draft pick at quarterback being just this bad, having this bad of a start to his NFL career than Jared Goff?
Well, that's pretty bad. But there's no way they're going to go with Sean Mannion. I mean, they got to have to let Jared Goff take his lumps. This is a... I mean, no way they're going to find out what they have unless they play the kid. So, yeah, it's been ugly, and it's probably not going to get much prettier this year. And he's obviously not on the radar for fantasy for 2017, but they got to let him play.
Yeah, they have a couple more options as well. And obviously, new scheme, new offensive, new coach. Like, I think that this puts him in a better situation than he was in last year. Obviously, Jeff Fisher was not long for the NFL. I don't know why they had him over in LA/St. Louis this whole entire time. Like, he's just not ready for this day and age in NFL at all. It's more of a pass happy scheme in the NFL now, and you know, he just liked to ground and pound the ball. It's kind of ridiculous that he stayed as long as he did. But Goff is someone that is not really relevant for fantasy, but it's more of a take a watch and see approach and see what happens this year. I think that he could take a sizable step forward and become somebody that we have our eye on in the future, or he could remain pretty bad and end up being like Blaine Gabbert a couple years ago, where he was just a non-factor. In the meantime, we have Todd Gurley, who was, by all accounts, essentially a flex play, maybe running back four last year for most of the season, had a couple of decent weeks, but nobody's really taking that into account when you're looking at the draft cost. Like, he is still going as a top 25 pick, right in front of Marshawn Lynch, right behind Leonard Fournette, top 11 running back on average. I just think that we aren't baking in any type of discount when you take into account what he did last season. So I'll ask you, are you in on Gurley based on that price, or are you out based on what he did last season?
Well, I get what you're saying, but I think the discount's not there, but you're paying for the upside. But he showed that upside in this rookie season. He had an incredible year. He had 1,100 yards, 10 touchdowns, 4.8 yards a carry. He looked like a future superstar. I know last year was this horrible mess, but even despite the fact that he was just god awful, he still had 900 yards and 6 touchdowns. I know that was not what we expected, but he had 278 carries. This guy is going to be a workhorse. They're going to rely on Gurley to help Jared Goff. You know, they're not going to throw Jared Goff and just have him launch passes all over the place. They're just going to keep handing the ball off to Gurley. He's going to get a ton of carries. He's got no competition behind him. There's no way he averages 3.2 yards carry again. The offense will have to be better this year. I think Gurley will have a year closer to his rookie season, and that draft price is pretty reasonable, I think.
Until the Rams prove that Jared Goff and the rest of the wide receiver, or just the weapons outside, can just add some separation and give Gurley some space, then I just can't be invested in Gurley. Like, I have Gurley on multiple keeper teams, and I love him to death. He is one of my favorite players. But, you know, last year he was one of the worst running back grades according to Pro Football Focus, and that wasn't just – the offensive line was fairly average to above average. I mean, I can't really get on board Gurley until I know that the rest of the weapons can add some space for him. And I'm a little bit more optimistic about it this year. I will definitely say that. But not getting any type of discount. I mean, last year he was a first-round pick. He ended up being more of a top 10, 11 pick? Top 10 round or a top 11 round pick.
I know, but he had 320 touches last year. I mean, there's so many running back questions this year, as there usually is. You just can't count on too many running backs to get such a high share of the touches. You can count on that with Gurley, and there's no way he doesn't bounce back. He's too talented. The offense will be better.
Yeah, but they signed Lance Dunbar before he got injured. Lance Dunbar.
Oh. Lance Dunbar is a third down. He's a third down guy. He's
exactly.
going to get some catches.
Which tells me they don't want Gurley to be catching the ball out of the backfield. They want to just use him in between the tackles, which I'm fine with. But the fact that they signed Dunbar in the first place tells me that they didn't want Gurley taking as many snaps this year. And they're going to have to use other. That's all I'm saying is like there's no question about Gurley's talent. And I have no issue taking Gurley. I'm just not going to be the one doing it. Like, if you end up hitting on Gurley in the second round or wherever you're getting him, and he ends up being a first-round talent, then by all means. But that was you're essentially getting a guy that outproduces ADP by a very slim margin. And the risk of that is that we have another season, not necessarily like last year, not that bad, but more so like he's a borderline running back two, somewhere in that region. And then where are you at? Like, you're passing on in the second round. You're passing on a ton of other running backs, first and foremost. You're also passing on a ton of wide receivers at that time. Michael Thomas, Dez Bryant, Aaron Rodgers, T.Y. Hilton, Gronk, if you wanted to go there, Amari Cooper, Tom Brady. I mean, these are all established options that you could go with and hit on in the second round. Not all of them are established, but regardless, like, most of them have pretty good career track records that you could feel good about, and then you can take another running back later, like Carlos Hyde or Spencer Ware, somebody like that, like it's C.J. Anderson, your boy, and maybe Ty Montgomery in PPR, whatever, and feel, don't you feel a little better about that risk than you do about taking somebody like Todd Gurley on such a based on what you did last year, like, I just don't feel good about it.
Yeah, that's all fair. I just think it's crazy that you think Lance Dunbar is going to, like, take away from Todd Gurley's
value. No, he's not going to because he's injured. I mean, he's not going to. But the fact that they signed him tells me that they were going to use him. I mean, Lance Dunbar's a pretty quality third down running back. Like, he hasn't been able to show it, but because of the durability concerns, and obviously that's coming even more to fruition this year, but the fact that they signed him in the first place to replace Benny Cunningham tells me that they wanted to use him in a third down type role and get Gurley to only be used in between the tackles. Like, Gurley had a ton of touches last year because he was the only one on the field. And he was getting a lot more receiving looks as well, which I don't think he is bad at, but he doesn't necessarily flourish in as well. So, regardless, everything that we're saying here comes down to whether you feel good about taking Gurley, not getting much of a discount based on what Gurley did last year. And to me, I don't feel good about that.
That's fair. I kind of disagree. I think he's going to be – his value is going to rest right where he's being drafted.
A guy who I like in terms of value is Robert Woods. He was obviously signed over from the Buffalo Bills this offseason, and he has been having a pretty good camp. A lot of good talk in the LA Rams camp about his work ethic, how he has been. I think that he will get peppered with targets this year. Obviously, there's no Kenny Britt there. So, how do you feel about Robert Woods? Not necessarily an inspiring option, not somebody that's going to be like a top five, not a top five rounder or something like that, but I do think he is worth a gamble going pretty late in drafts. How about you?
Yeah, I'm not too thrilled. When's the last time this team had a good receiver? Was it friggin' Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt? I mean, this is embarrassing how bad their receiving corps has been for so long. And they also have no quarterback to really get them the ball. Woods is fine. He's serviceable, just like Tavon Austin, serviceable. And someone's, you know, other than that, that's all they have. I know Cooper Kupp is a third-round draft pick, but I'm sure he'll do nothing this year. So someone's going to have to get the targets. I get it. And they're going to be down a lot in games. So maybe Woods has a career year, but he's not a guy that ever gets red zone looks. He's never had 700 yards in a season. He's always been hurt. You don't have to pay a good price on him, so it's perfectly reasonable in PPR leagues, but I'm not all that excited about it.
Yeah, I don't mind Woods in PPR, deeper PPR formats. I think that he's worth the gamble there. That's about what I'm looking at with him. I'm sounding pretty unenthusiastic about him, but I do think that he's worth a shot because at some point they're going to have to throw the ball, and Robert Woods will probably be the one that gets 7 to 8 targets a game. Why not? He's going as the 75th wide receiver. Like, he costs nothing.
Yeah, that's too late. I think he's like a top 60 kind of guy just because he's going to have to get some looks there.
Yeah, absolutely. Cole Beasley's going way, way in front of him, and I think that they present the same upside. So it's pretty similar there. You talked about Cooper Kupp a second ago, their third-round draft pick. They like him a lot. I think that he will probably be one of their starters with Tavon Austin kicking into the slot. Are you interested in Cooper Kupp in anything but dynasty leagues?
No, I think he's just a possession kind of receiver. Let's be real. Not too many of those possession receivers are really viable in non-PPR leagues, especially not rookies. I mean, give this guy some time. I'm somewhat interesting in dynasty, but I tend to stay away from the rookie receivers in redraft league, especially guys on a team this bad.
Tavon Austin's free. How about him?
I mean, at some point he has to show it. I like him as like a bye week fill-in to try to get lucky if you feel like you need to hit a home run to win the week. But other than that, it's just he hasn't really shown it, and he's had so many opportunities. I don't see why this is going to be much different.
Yeah, he presents upside. I think that Austin is still quite interesting, and based on where he's going, I'm willing to take a shot. Like, it's going to be a complete flyer, and it probably won't work out, but he still is somebody that can score in multiple different ways. He is probably going to still get a good amount of targets. His completion percentage last year on targets was among the league worst. I haven't looked that up, but I'm assuming it is. Just based on looking at his targets to receptions, it's very, very bad.
And it's crazy because they just throw short passes to him, and they still can't complete them. It's bad. If he ran more, I'd be interested, but his carries almost dipped in half from the previous year. So unless the only way he's going to be valuable is if he's getting catches, running the ball, and getting touchdowns on special teams. That's just asking for too much for all three of those things to hit at the same time. So it's never happened before. I don't see why it's going to happen now.
Yeah, I just think based on where he's going in drafts, like right now he is going as the outside the top 210, 66th wide receiver, somebody that probably has 700-800 yard receiving upside, 250-300 yard rushing upside, and like 7-8 touchdown upside. It's not bad. Not a bad gamble at that point. So Tavon Austin, obviously a monumental disappointment for fantasy for years on end at this point, but I think that it's worth a shot.
Would you rather have like Curtis Samuel or
no
Tavon Austin? Yeah, I figured not. I just don't.
I like Curtis Samuel, and we didn't really mention him on the Carolina pod, and that's kind of my bad. I like Curtis Samuel, but it's more of a dynasty type format, like than redraft for this year. I usually try to gear our preseason stuff towards what's going to happen this year. That's why I didn't talk about Alvin Kamara or Kamara. I don't know how you pronounce it, Kamara or Kamara. That's why I don't love him too much either for this year. But for dynasty, Curtis Samuel, Alvin Kamara, I like both of them. Cooper Kupp, I think, is interesting as well for dynasty. Absolutely. But for this year, redraft alone, I'm not really that invested in any of those guys. I do want to talk about the tight ends, though. Tyler Higbee is kind of in the same elk as someone like Austin Hooper. Really a non-factor last year, but they are going to make him a factor for this season based on all the camp reports and everything that's going on. I think that Higbee, again, an option that's going absolutely free in drafts. They drafted Gerald Everett. Both these tight ends could present some value. Obviously, we have to see the usage and see what type of target share these guys will get. If they're going to be in two tight end sets, what's going to happen there? But Higbee is probably the front runner, probably interesting for like a second tight end flyer. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think if there are not a lot of tight ends that could make the leap potentially, he's one of them. I don't really think it's going to happen. I don't think the offense is very good. I don't think the quarterback's very good. I don't think he's all that talented. I like Hooper significantly more than Higbee. But, you know, this is a guy to keep an eye on. He is a huge target, so he could get you some garbage touchdowns here and there.
Agreed on all points. Definitely like Hooper more than Higbee, but it wouldn't shock me. It's usually young quarterbacks target their tight ends first and foremost, and Higbee could be could be one of the better beneficiaries of that. So let's move on to the most inspiring team on this list in terms of fantasy, and that's the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson, I'm buying. I'm all in on Russell Wilson for this year. I think that he is easily going to be a top at least 10 quarterback this year.
Really going on a limb to say the guy who's always a top 10 quarterback is going to be a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah, but no, last year I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but I'm sure he wasn't a top 10 quarterback last year. Going as the sixth option right now, I'm all in on that price. I think that him going in front of Derek Carr is absolutely apt as well. Dak Prescott is going as a top 10 quarterback. I disagree there. What do you think about Russell Wilson?
Yeah, I love Russell Wilson. I drafted him in 3-4 this year. I think I got him ranked number 6. I just think he's so reliable. It's a solid team around him. He's going to get points with the arm, with the legs. He's durable. He's just about as solid as they come. He always goes a little bit later than he should, I feel like, because he's just so consistent. I love him. He finished, let's see, 3-4.
Right at 10. Right at 10 last year.
Yeah, damn straight, motherfucker.
No, and maybe he did kind of end the season on a really nice run. He had, you know, 3 and 4 touchdown games in week 15 and week 16. He kind of crushed you in the finals if you played in week 17, which you never should do. Agreed. But on a game-to-game basis, he was pretty bad last year. I'm only seeing about 4 to 5 games where he was legitimately startable, and the others were pretty bad. You have games against Atlanta, 270 yards, no touchdowns, 225 yards, no touchdowns against Arizona in week 7. Excuse me. New Orleans, 0 touchdowns, 253 yards in that game. I mean, that's a pretty bad 3-week stretch from week 6 to week 8. That was following a 3-touchdown game against the Jets. So, yes, he might have finished as a top 10 option, but from a week-to-week basis, he was certainly – I bet if we looked at the ranks last year from a week-to-week basis, I bet he was outside the top 10 a lot of those weeks.
Yeah, I mean, he had a career-high passing yards last year. I think he got a little unlucky with the touchdown passes, so I think the touchdown passes will increase. I do worry a little bit about the running. He did run significantly less this past year than he had
before. He was injured.
Yeah, so I think that's a big part of it. So I'm sure the running stats will go up a little bit. The touchdowns will go up a little bit. So even if the yards go down somehow, that's not a big deal to me. He's just so reliable. I love him.
Yeah, the 72 rushes were a career worst. So I definitely think that we will see that tick back up, as well as the rushing yards. The rushing yards were by far the worst of his career. I think that you can probably pencil him in for more of the 400 yards rushing range, and also multiple touchdowns on the rushing side as well. That's usually where he's at. So I'm in for Russell Wilson. I think that he's probably going to be a top 5 option when it's all said and done. I said top 10 earlier. It'd be pretty, pretty kind about it, I guess. But Russell Wilson's going to be a premier quarterback. There's no problem there with me. Backups, if some were to happen, Austin Davis, Trevon Boykin. You interested in either of them?
No, I'm interested in Colin Kaepernick, though.
I don't know why Kaepernick goes to the Seahawks.
I know, they should have done it, though. It would have been perfect, because it would have been a great backup quarterback for a cheap price and who plays a similar style to Wilson. So it made too much sense that they didn't do it.
Yeah,
it's like the perfect locker room for this, because that locker room is notorious for outspoken guys and guys that say what they feel. And I just feel like that clubhouse would have rallied around Kaepernick and it would have been great, but whatever.
Yeah, I agree. Moving on to the running backs, and I know that you and I are going to differ on this. So Eddie Lacy, who is right now going as a 7th rounder, going right inside the top 30 running backs. He is looking like he is going to be the Seattle front runner for touches in the running back core. Obviously, you're in based on what I've heard from you. Why?
Look, I know Eddie Lacy was bad last year. He wasn't bad. He still averaged 4+ yards carry. I know he's fat and all that crap. But
I don't care about that. I honestly don't.
Look, he's still fairly young. He's only 27. The first 2 years of his career were fantastic. Last couple of years have been disappointing. Well, actually, last year he averaged 5 yards a carry. It was the year before he averaged 4.1. He's always been a guy that gets a lot of yards per carry. He's gotten better in the passing game over the years. He's somewhat decent there. I do like Rawls and ProSize, and that does worry me a little bit because I do think they have solid options. But they went out and specifically got Eddie Lacy. They won in Lacy. Maybe they don't fully believe in Rawls anymore like maybe they did before. And this is a great offense. I just think he's going to score some touchdowns. It's that simple.
Yeah, I'm not really in on Lacy, and the reason being is the offensive line for Seattle. It is among the worst. If you look at their grade scale this year going into this season, they don't have one offensive lineman that is above average. They actually have multiple guys that are rated poor, and they have 2 guys that are rated average. Other than that, you're looking at a new option at left guard. I'm not in. They also have a fairly poor blocker in Luke Wilson at the other tight end spot. Jimmy Graham's a pretty decent blocker, but they need him for receiving. So if there is a point to be made for Eddie Lacy, it's that he is a good blocker. He's obviously has a good enough frame to be able to support that as well. And again, that's not another fat joke. I'm getting way over the whole fat thing with Eddie Lacy. Like, he's not fat. He's a big running back. There's been plenty of running backs in this league that have been big that have had success. So I'm kind of overhearing that whole fat Eddie Lacy joke.
You don't exactly have to spend a big price on him. He's going he's the 75th player off the board.
No, you don't. No, you don't. And I think that the better way to go about it, while I'm not a Lacy fan, I have no problem if you went Lacy and then you decided to go ProSize and or Rawls later, because both of them are going at really good cost. Like, ProSize in a very limited sample last year, we'll kind of bunch all these guys together. Why not? ProSize is going outside the top 40 running backs. Obviously a really good pass catcher, more suited for PPR, but you could get him outside the top 110 picks as well. So essentially a 10th round pick. You can get Lacy in the 7th round, Prosize in the 10th round, and then go to Rawls, who is going in the 13th round, and have yourself a running back core in Seattle that is probably going to be pretty good.
That's basically what I did in three sport. I drafted Lacy and Prosize, and if someone didn't snatch Rawls, I probably would have grabbed him at some point, too. I think you might have grabbed Rawls.
No, I didn't grab Rawls, but I definitely like all three for this year for different reasons. Rawls, I think, is the direct handcuff to Eddie Lacy, but Prosize is somebody that I think will get week-to-week value in PPR formats based on his skill set alone. Now, we do need to see a little bit more durability out of Prosize, and obviously he's still insanely young and pretty raw, but in his limited sample last year, I was very impressed, and I think based on his college tape too that we can see the same type of upside as he matures a bit in the NFL. So I like all three for different reasons, but I'm the lowest on Eddie Lacy just because I just don't buy the skill set as much as I did a couple years ago.
Yeah, I love Prosize. He's really dynamic. I saw him live in person when the Seahawks visited New England last year, and he had a monster game. I just feel like there are a lot of guys that can run and can catch balls out of the backfield, but a lot of teams don't know how to use it properly. I just have confidence that Seattle and Pete Carroll will be able to utilize the skill set better than other teams. I just think that Prosize is more reliable than Tavon Austin. Like, they're going to get the most out of Prosize. I'm just excited about the possibility of how he could be in PPR leagues.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that their scheme and the way that they do things is very meticulous, and they're very sound at making that happen. So I agree with that. Again, I think getting all three of them at their cost is a sound thing to do. I'm just a little bit worried about Lacy, which is the fact that you want to get all three tells me that there's more worry about Lacy than even the front runners for him would let on.
Yeah, that's completely fair. I get it.
All right, let's move on to the wide receivers. And Doug Baldwin, obviously, is the featured guy on this list. So right now, Baldwin, let's look it up. He's probably going as a wide receiver one-ish in fantasy. Yep, he's going as the 12th wide receiver, just outside of the top 25 overall picks. How are you feeling about Doug Baldwin?
I love it. That's exactly where I have him ranked, number 12. He gets a ton of targets. He catches a ton of very high percentage of those targets. They always look for him in the red zone. I don't think the other receivers inspire me much. They're fine. Lockett's okay, probably a little disappointing. Curse is fine. I just think Russell always looks for Doug Baldwin, and he makes big plays, and he's had two monster seasons in a row. I think he's getting better and better every year. I just think he's about as safe as it comes as an elite wide receiver too.
Yeah, I think he is a really good wide receiver too for PPR because his target share is so high. He just gets peppered with targets by Russell Wilson. They obviously have a really good rapport with one another. I am a little bit concerned about the touchdowns because after that 14 touchdown mirage where he had, I think, about 10 in a 4-week span in 2015, he ended up having 7 last year. 3 of them came in one game against New England. If you take that out, which I know is not a sound thing to do, if you take that out, then he was a 4 touchdown player with only a couple 100 yard games in there. So that's where my concern lies with Baldwin. But again, based on his target share alone, his skill set, his route running, I think that he is a premier wide receiver too. Have no problem in PPR taking him. Standard, I'm a little bit worried about the overall upside. I think that he'd be somebody that would probably not come on my team just because people would probably pay a higher price for him. But in PPR, I think that he is a legit high-end wide receiver too, and I have no problem taking him there. Moving on to more guys in this wide receiver core, Paul Richardson, somebody that I've constantly had admiration for. He should be their kick returner this year, former second-round pick, obviously been suffering from random injuries for multiple seasons now. Any interest, he's absolutely free. Deeper formats, what do you think there?
I used to like Richardson. I drafted him a few years ago in our Dynasty Football League. I think he's a guy that can make a lot of big plays. But like you said, he's been injured too much. He doesn't have a huge role on this team other than maybe like a slot receiver occasionally and a kick returner. So no, maybe just keep your eye on him. But I don't think he's ever going to be really fantasy relevant.
Yeah, this is where preseason comes into play. I would be watching Richardson this preseason, see how he looks. If he is looking like he is getting a lion's share of the reps with the first team and he's, you know, playing on the outside and he's looking good, then I think that you should definitely keep him on your radar. Not necessarily draftable in 12-team formats, but in 14-teamers where you're taking really random shots later on, I don't mind it because I think Richardson still has a boatload of talent and it definitely hasn't come to fruition in a full way quite yet. But based on playoff samples and just random stretches in the season, I think that Richardson has shown a little bit that has teased us into wanting more from him. So we we could see that at some point, which is why I think just keeping him on your radar, watching him this preseason is the best thing to do. Tyler Lockett, somebody who I went to bat for in a big way last year. I know Matt Harmon of NFL.com and footballguys.com was big into him based on his reception perception. Just had a really disappointing year last year. It ended with an injury. What do you think about this year for somebody like Lockett, who is also going at a very reasonable cost, but rightly so based on what happened last year?
He finished pretty strong the last handful of weeks, so I do think there's a lot of upside here. I think people are really down on him from last year being disappointed, but I think you can really get a lot of value on guys like this. People have soured on him, and this is your chance to pounce because maybe we're just a year too early on the upside. And I do think that this is a good offense for him. He's the clear number two receiver. I think people view this Seattle team as a run-first offense, but I don't think that's really the case anymore. So I think Lockett's going to get a good amount of touches and make some big plays. I do think that the price you're getting on him is fantastic, and he could really pay dividends big time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, last year, based on ADP, he was going as a borderline 6th-7th rounder. Now, this year, when you look at it, he's going outside the top 150 overall, outside the top 50 wide receivers. That's much more manageable. I love Lockett at that price. So going in front of Josh Doctson, that's maybe the one qualm I have with that. But outside of Doctson, I think that he is probably the best gamble to take down there. I'd still really like Laquan Treadwell, so I will put my stamp of approval on there for him. But other than that, Lockett's my dude. I love him. I think that he's definitely worth a shot. One of Richardson or Lockett is going to have a really, really good year. I can't say which one because I think that both of them are very, very good at what they do. They both can kick or return punts and kicks. I think Lockett probably has the lead in terms of getting punt returns at this point, but also could end up giving those to Paul Richardson as well. So we'll see what happens there for the kick return and punt return leagues out there that kind of use those yards as points and such. Anybody else on the wide receiver court? Jermaine Kearse has obviously been a playoff stud for a couple of seasons here. Do you have any other love for any of these other wide receiver options?
I like Jermaine Kearse. I just don't think this is the right spot for him. He's behind some of the other guys in the depth chart. If he was on the Rams, I feel like he'd be their number one receiver. But that's not the case. If someone were to get hurt, then I think Kearse is interesting in PPR.
Agreed. I have no problems there. Let's shift it over to the tight end position. Jimmy Graham going as a top five option at the position. Are you in?
Yeah, I'm not out. I have him just outside the top five. He certainly had a nice bounce back season. Russell Wilson's going to look to him a lot because, other than Baldwin, they don't exactly have any surefire, reliable wide receiver options. So I do think it's going to get a lot of looks, probably score a handful of touchdowns again. So certainly reasonable.
Yeah, just since he's been with Seattle, he has 8 touchdowns. And that's just only a handful of 100-yard games, 3 of them to be exact. I just don't see the upside here, the real upside. He has 400-yard games, I'm sorry. Not really a lot of high reception games either. Like this, I know he's never going to be the New Orleans Jimmy Graham, but if you're taking a tight end within your top 5 rounds, then I want that tight end to have every bit of the same upside as that of Travis Kelce or Gronk or Jordan Reed for that matter. And he just doesn't. It was Seattle. They don't use him the way that we want out of a tight end that's going to be elite. And while he might end up being a top 5-6 tight end when it's all said and done this year, what does that really say? He's the best of a position or one of the best at a position that really is dying in terms of talent and usage for NFL. So I think where he's going in drafts, you might as well go up to Gronk in the 2nd round or Kelce in the 3rd to 4th round or even Reed in the 4th to 5th round. And if you're not going to go with those 3, then wait. Because the real difference between Graham and even getting somebody like Eifert a little bit later or Hunter Henry, who's going outside the 9th round, which I think is pretty criminal at this point, I just don't see it being that vast.
Yeah, I agree. I'd rather wait than take Graham. But I do think you're shortchanging him a little bit. He did have 9 double-digit scoring weeks last year. He had a career-high 14.2 yards per reception. He did have 6 touchdowns, so I think he's going to be pretty damn good. But, yeah, I think the difference between him and, Delanie Walker is just not that big, so I'd rather just wait.
Yeah, and the points for Graham or pro-Graham are he's another year removed from the injury. He is another year installed in this offense, another year under Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll understanding the scheme, all that type of stuff. So that's the pros, and you've seen some improvements game to game. So those are certainly some pro arguments for Graham, and I'm not I'm not against Graham this year. So if you draft him, I'm not going to say that you're doing a stupid thing. I think when it's all said and done, he's going to be a top five tight end-ish, probably 5 to 6, somewhere in there. So that's certainly not a crime to take him where he's going. I feel like if you're going to go with an elite tight end, then go elite. Go Gronk, go Kelce, go Reed even. Because if Reed stays healthy for even 12 games this year, from a game-to-game basis, he is going to highly outproduce Jimmy Graham, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. Anything else from the tight end group here? You obviously have Luke Wilson kind of running around there. I don't really have any type of interest in any of the other tight end options.
No, I'm only interested in Luke Wilson, the actor, not the football player.
Of course you are. When was the last time he made a movie?
No, I don't know. He's been pretty irrelevant for a while. But I'm a fan of the Wilson family.
Wilson family, Owen Wilson. Wedding Crashers, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yes, that is a absolute classic.
Yeah, I probably, if I got to run through the movie just really fast, I probably could go line for line, like pretty close to line for line, just without even watching it.
But yeah, one of my all-time favorite comedies, definitely.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Anyways, Blair Wallace is over in Seattle. What's up with that? You want a little share of him?
I only draft Justin Tucker. Anyone else can go to hell.
Justin Tucker won me a week a couple years ago. He won me.
He wins me fantasy leagues. The guy's he's the best kicker of all time. Seriously, he really is.
Yeah, I needed like 25 points out of him randomly in week 16 a couple years ago, and he did it. And I literally wanted to write him a letter just saying how much I loved and appreciated him and what I would do for him and his family if they needed it. If the call comes, I'm going to be there for him.
I'll be first in line. I don't know who Ben Brennis and James Bay think they are, but they have him ranked. Justin Tucker ranked number 2 among kickers, and they should be banned from this podcast.
Well, to be fair, the guy in front of them, Steven Gostkowski, should be in front of them based on the
solutions.
Well, in terms of actual kicking, no, Tucker is better. But in terms of fantasy, then yeah, Gostkowski is probably the better option, just by a slim margin.
No, you can go to hell too. You're on my shit list now.
Seattle's defense is obviously an elite option. Is that one of your? One of your teams that you're willing to go with.
Yeah, I mean, they've been top 10 for like 5 years in a row. This past year, they were ninth, and that was like their worst season in forever. And they're basically returning the exact same defense as well. So, I mean, yeah, I got them ranked number 2. They're about as steady as they come. So, yeah, I'm playing them just about every week unless you're playing like Green Bay or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. I think that they are going to be a top 3 unit once again this year. So, nothing really to say there. But that's going to wrap us up for the NFC West. We made it. I know 3 of the teams are kind of a drag. No wonder Justin wanted us to do this division, because it was a major drag. I think out of the whole division, you have, what, 10 players that are worth drafting? So,
pretty much. And the half of them are on Seattle, basically.
Yeah. Other than that, Eli, tell us again where you can be reached and all that stuff. And just say what you're looking forward to for this football season, since you have nothing you're working on.
Well, you can mock my analysis and my Justin Tucker love on Twitter at EliFWFB, and I don't know, I'm just looking forward to once again kicking your ass in 3-sport and showing why I'm the best.
For people that don't know what 3-sport is, Eli came up with this amazing idea that I'm now in the second year of, where it's a 3-sport fantasy league. So we draft a team for fantasy basketball, baseball, and football, and we do it all in one massive draft, which, if I'm being completely real here, is the most fun thing ever.
It really is. It's stressful because it takes about a month on, you know, we do a slow Google draft, but it really is incredible. And there's so many different strategies. It's really fun.
Yeah, like you have to draft all 3 teams at one time. And, you know, me last year getting the number 1 pick, I ended up going Mike Trout, which if you thought would be a good strategy, just wasn't. Because you have to take into account that, you know, we play basketball second. We play football first, then the basketball league second, and then baseball is last. So the better strategy is to wait on baseball. But that's just part of it. That's part of the fun with the 3-sport league. So it takes all of your time, which is not great. But at the same time, it's one of the most fun things I've ever been a part of. So I'm really, really happy to be in it. And if you are not in a 3-sport type league or even a 2-sport league, you should try and do that, because it's a really fun way to do it. You can, you know, pay out each league winner and then give out an overall prize as well, which is the way we do it. And I think it's the best way to play fantasy. If you are not doing that, I think it's something you should definitely look into.
Yeah, and if anyone needs advice on how to get a league started or how to format it, or how to, you know, just dominate, let me know. Because I won year 1, I finished 2nd in year 2, and it very well looks like I'm going to finish 1st again in year 3. So I'm kind of good at this.
Yeah, despite, you know, Eli's average analysis, he's actually pretty good at fantasy. So you should probably trust him a little bit. You can reach me on Twitter at Mike Werner, FWFB. Game of Thrones. We haven't really talked much about pop culture this week, but I know you're like in the beginning stages of Game of Thrones, but this latest episode is absolute fire, literally and metaphorically. So hopefully everybody that watched that was just as thrilled as I was. Big Brother, anything on Big Brother, Eli?
Just like everyone in this house is so unlikable. I mean, it's been a fairly entertaining season, I guess. This is only my third season watching. I think I liked the last two seasons a fair amount better than this, but it's still fun to watch three times a week.
Yeah, it's not been the best season to date, but this is kind of the risk when you have all new house guests as opposed to getting some of the veteran guys in there or girls. So last year they went with four veterans, and this year they only had one with Paul coming back. So that was kind of the risk associated with it. But in general, yeah, I agree with you. It's been not really amazing season, but it has had some good drama in there, which is great.
And
to me, so.
One thing that's a bummer is I always fall in love with someone from the cast, and I do fall in love easily, I'm not going to lie. But there's been no one from this season I'm ever going to fall in love with. Two seasons ago was Meg. And this past season, it was
who you met. You met Nick, Meg at a conference or something, right?
Yeah, I don't really have a crush on her anymore. She's still cute. I like Meg. But last year was Nicole, and this year is nobody. I thought maybe at the beginning it might have been Raven, but she turned out to not be a sweet Southern belle like she first appeared.
Yeah, no, she's not. She's certainly a bit savage as well. And while Jessica is obviously the most attractive of the group, I don't like the personality. She's smart and everything, but overall, like, not really interested. So anyways, let's wrap this thing up. So for myself and Eli, thank you very much and good luck in your drafts.